We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Mancini Monday. Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, and Ryan Herrera with you after a Cubs convention, the first one in a couple years. That was fun. Happy Martin Luther King Day. And I hope everybody had a good weekend. We get lots of NFL football we could talk about, but we have so much Cubs stuff to get to that I feel like, for once, the NFL is on the back burner. We had all kinds of news. We were all at the Cubs convention. We were in different places. We're all over. Cody was a man of the people for a while. He was shaking hands, kissing babies, posting social videos. How did you guys like Cubs convention for the first time in a couple years? What did you think of it?
I went, I had like the fan pass or whatever. So, you know, I was walking around, getting to talk to people. I got to hang out with my guy, Mike Dubs, a little bit on Friday. Shout out to him. Sat next to him at the opening ceremonies. I don't know if I've ever met a more diehard fan. And I consider myself one, but this guy bleeds blue, man.
Was he running with a Cubs flag throughout the lobby?
I was surprised he wasn't. I was surprised that he wasn't. But I saw him. Saw a few other fans. Shout out to Lauren Wisdom, and her friends. Of course, saw Crawley. He's on another level. That maybe he beats out Mike Dubs, but that might be good for Dubs. No offense. I went to Lizzie McNeil's after like the opening ceremonies and like hung out with a lot of the bloggers and podcasters. Shout out to the guys from Wrigleyville Nation. They've had me on their pod. I know they've had Jared on there too. Talked to them for God knows how long when I was there. Saw Brett Taylor from Bleacher Nation. Full Count Tommy, met him for the first time. There's just a lot of people. Sarah Sanchez. Danny Rocket, just a lot of people from Cubs Twitter. It was cool to, you know, a lot of them I've never met in person. So it was cool to like finally put a face, or I guess a human body to a face, or whatever you want to call it, compared to like, you know, the last couple years. Right. So that was probably my favorite part of just the entire convention. That was just Friday. I saw some other people on Saturday, finally met my guy, Dom Frederick, in person on Saturday. There's so many other people. I was hanging out with Jake Banowski, who brought the K-signs.
Saw that, yeah.
The Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game. I hung out with him a little bit. We had a few beers at the bar there in the lobby. Met some people from Club 400. The guy who started Club 400, I met him. That was probably my favorite part. It was the first time going where I didn't just stand in lines and like sit in the panels or whatever. It was cool to like meet other people.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think it was neat that, first of all, if you would have gone into this a month ago, I think there would have been a very negative feel to Cubs convention, right? Like, I feel like there was a sense that this could get ugly. And it was nice to have it return with some positivity around it, because that's really what it is. You don't want the fans to be all angry there. I think that most of what was presented out there was in a very positive light. You know, you're always going to get some of the questions at the family panel, which we'll get to later. But I think the Mancini signing certainly helped it. You know, we talked about Trey Mancini on Thursday's podcast, and we were like, well, are they done? Is this all over? Now that they have Hosmer, I assume they're done. They're not going to do Hosmer, Bellinger, and Mancini. And sure enough, you know, Jed said in the press conference, he said in the afternoon, you know, Hosmer would play every day against right-handed pitchers, which kind of had people raising their eyebrows a little bit. Like, what do you mean every day against right-handed pitchers? And, you know, you weren't sure with the whole Mervis thing. And sure enough, he'd mentioned he'd been making some phone calls, and Trey Mancini, it appears, is getting a 2-year deal. And that also looks like a pretty – Cody put on Twitter, and I think this summed it up. I think, Cody, you're 100% right. You're like, Mancini, Hosmer, better than Rivas and Schwindel, right? Like, yeah. There's no way you can't say that's been upgraded. Like, it's greatly upgraded. And then you still have Mervis, who could bring the youth to the position and upgrade that. So –
And it takes pressure.
I feel good about it. And I think it brought, Cody, I think it brought a positivity that I didn't expect to really see out of the Cubs fan base. There was very little negative activity on Cubs Twitter over the weekend.
Yeah, especially with that signing. I didn't see a lot of negativity about it. I think a lot of people were a little shocked. I was a little surprised because I thought once they signed Hosmer, they were done with Mancini. And we talked about that last week. And Ryan was playing it down the middle, saying that it made no sense to get Mancini now. And then it happened.
Still doesn't.
So, yeah, they have to remove someone to open up a 40-man spot, right? So we're going to see what happens there. I think a trade definitely feels like it's coming now. So I don't think the Cubs are done. Jed was very upfront about that. On Saturday during his panel about how they weren't done. And that was before Mancini was signed. So, yeah, it's exciting because they needed more offense, and that's why I'm okay with it. And now if Hosmer doesn't work out, then you have a backup option there, and you can call up Mervis if Hosmer doesn't work out.
It's to me, I mean, I won't walk back what I said. Like, it still kind of doesn't make sense the way the roster is currently constructed. And that's kind of the whole point is you added a bat to a lineup a bat that's not very versatile in the field to a lineup that has a lot of versatility, but also has a lot of mouths to feed. And, you know, there's a finite amount of at bats to go around. He's going to take up a good chunk of that. Now, I understand it in the sense that the Cubs want to be better in 2023. He's a good player. He's going to help the team be better, maybe add another couple wins. You know, if he can reach a couple wins and wins above replacement, that's good. He's going to help the team be better. And the leadership qualities that he brings obviously will help in that club. I was like, he is a positive addition to the team. It's just the way the roster is currently set up. It doesn't make sense. Like, if you were to get him, then you didn't really need to get Hosmer. But when they got Hosmer, I think that's kind of when we're all like, okay, that's going to be their first baseman. Mervis is there too. You know, go from there. Now it's kind of to the point where you're either going to need to make some trades. Matt Mervis is going to start the season in AAA, which I think we were all kind of wanted to already see him, see what he could do in the major leagues. But now that may be delayed. There's the way the roster is currently constructed, it doesn't make sense. But obviously, they're going to have to do something about it to bring more clarity on what exactly the lineup's going to look like, the 40-man, the active roster, how that's all going to shake out. It's just not clear right now. And that's when I say it doesn't make sense. That's what I mean.
Yeah. And I wasn't saying that you were right or wrong. Like we both just said, like, they have to, it seems like a trade is coming. And I don't know if that's for Madrigal. I don't know if McKinstry is a guy that other teams are interested in. I don't know, but it would then make more sense. But at the same time, you know, you could start Mervis in AAA, get him through, wait until May when it's not so cold. And you know how offense works in April at Wrigley, right? And let Mancini and Hosmer, you know, platoon first base DH. And you could call Mervis up in May, say an injury happens, and you could still run with those three. Obviously, one of them wouldn't be able to play every single day, but you know, if you want to have Mancini in there, but maybe Hosmer doesn't match up well with this pitcher, then you still have a lefty in there with Mervis to play DH or first base, whatever. You know what I mean? I think that they're interchangeable. It's like Hosmer is not blocking anyone, man. Like if he doesn't play well, like they can easily just let him go.
Well, he's not even making $1 million. Do you think it shows any less confidence in Mervis, or do you think it shows that they want Mervis to earn it?
No, I don't think this is an indictment on Mervis at all. I think it's, as people are mentioning in the chat, you know, he had really one good year in the minor leagues and he kind of shut up. Like, he really doesn't have a lot of experience at the AAA level, which is again right below the majors, and the jump into the major leagues is the biggest jump any player can make at this point, you know, from AAA to majors or whatever. It's the biggest jump. So I think it's more of they want to be better in 2023. It's hard to put all your eggs in the basket of a prospect who has had one really good year in the minor leagues. So they added, you know, a guy who should be pretty good in Trey Mancini, and a guy who had a little bit of a down year in Eric Hosmer, but who has a little bit of a pedigree, is going to be a good clubhouse presence. And for as little as they're paying him, any sort of bounce back would be a benefit from that, right? So yeah, it's just adding a couple guys that's going to help the team be better, help mold that clubhouse culture, and I guess the way it looks is allowing Matt Mervis to spend a little bit more time developing in the minor leagues, working out whatever last little flaws or fixes need to happen at that level, so that when he, you know, they're not rushing him to the major leagues, and when he comes up, he's fully ready, and it's at that point where it's like, okay, he has literally nothing left to prove in the minors. It's his time now. That's where it's at right now. I think
it's interesting that they're, it sounds like it's a 2-year deal. But again, if Mervis develops, whether it's Hosmer or Mancini, you can move on from one of those guys pretty easily. Whether it's just releasing them or trading one of them, if you want to. Of the group of guys that they're banking on for somebody to have a bounce back season, Bellinger, Mancini, Hosmer, Tucker Barnhart, like there's a group of guys, obviously to a much lesser degree, he's there obviously for the defense, but like of those three bats, who do you think is the most likely to have a season where we're sitting here in July and we go, wow, that was a great signing? Which of those three do you think has that opportunity the most?
I do think there's a high ceiling for Bellinger. I know the Cubs convention is all about getting fans excited and stuff, but I did like a lot of what he had to say and what, you know, the coaching staff had to say about him there. So, you know, that to me, like, he has the highest ceiling of anyone on this team. If he channels anything close to 2019, you're feeling really good about this team. And with Brennan Davis, basically, not even basically, he literally said that he's 100%. Like, you have depth there. So if like it doesn't work out, then you have him when he gets called up. I don't know, because I don't know how many at bats the Cubs want him to get in AAA, or if he in. Who knows if he has an insane spring? Who knows? Maybe he does start the team, but I doubt it, and I think we all doubt that. But I'm just saying that like there's depth that. Depth in the outfield, and so if it doesn't work out, it's fine. But I do think that there is a high ceiling with someone like Bellinger on a 1-year prove it deal, who has an agent like Scott Boris, who's known for getting guys paid. So he has a lot.
He's the highest ceiling, right?
Yeah, he has a lot to play for and a lot to, you know, prove. So I do think that there's, I think that's one that we could all sit here and be really excited about in July. He just seems like someone who's so ready to just get back to what he was doing. Again, I understand what the convention's all about, but he seems very motivated and super excited to play at Wrigley. So,
we have a super chat here, $9.99. Oh, the Duke coming through with the cash again. With the shift gone in second baseman, now premium defensive position, wouldn't you want to sell Madrigal now for any premium you can get from a needy team? Dump him for prospects and 40-man solved. Well, we don't know. I mean, that could be happening. One interesting thing we had over the weekend was that he was taking reps at third base.
Yeah.
Right? Like yeah. Something we another thing that we questioned last week. Like it was almost like a Jed was listening to our podcast and saying, "Whoa, that's
doing the opposite. Let's
try that out."
Like, yeah.
I don't know how much
to look into that, but
Cody, we talked about it with some of our friends that we met at Lizzie McNeil's actually on Friday. I don't think you have to really worry about Madrigal playing third base. Maybe he's taking some reps there just to, you know, oh, hey, it's the off season. See things. Yeah. But you have at this point, you got Wisdom, Morrell, McKinstry. You got options at third base that also need playing time. Like I know we've talked about Madrigal needing to play his way into like an everyday lineup. Like that's on him to do that. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe trying to see if he could play third base is him trying to show like, hey, like I have more versatility than you think I do. Yeah. I can play when guys in third base need a spell. I can even play shortstop maybe if a guy needs a break for a game or two, right? Like maybe that's Madrigal trying to show he's a little more versatile than we give him credit for. I just don't think without having seen it and without it being a legitimate competition that he's in, I don't see him playing third base. But I mean, if he comes in spring training and he does it and you're like, he's just wowing everyone, like, again, that's maybe his way of playing himself into more everyday at bats, more playing time than just being a bench bat.
I'll say this, with Trevor Story going out for the year, basically for the Red Sox, like they need someone like Nick Madrigal. It opens up a space for him. So, and you know how the Cubs and the Red Sox have that relationship. To me, like if there's a trade, right, I don't know what the Cubs would get back for him, but his value is so low, you're not going to get anything special. So if he went to the Red Sox and was good, then we'd sit here and, you know, be whatever about it. But I'm just saying, like, there are teams that could use a guy like Madrigal and they could easily move him. So, but I'm not fully out on the guy either. I would love for the Cubs to keep him and remove someone else. I don't know who, but I mean, he's at the bottom tier of like who should be on the roster, in my opinion, but that doesn't mean that I've fully given up on the guy being successful with the Cubs. So
we also had some updates this weekend. Now, Ryan, you have a sound from about Hap getting his extension and or possibly getting an extension and Nico possibly getting an extension. Is that from Jed talking about that?
Yeah, clip of Jed asked about extensions for those two guys. We'll let Steven play it, but just don't expect any groundbreaking news from the video.
They did avoid arbitration. Now the focus is, can you get an extension with those two guys?
I can't tell you, where they stand, but I can tell you that we have interest in both guys and keeping them long term. And we started the process. I guess I would say we've had dialogue with the agents, and where that is in the process, I would never reveal or what the offers are. But certainly, there's a real desire, and we've had those meetings with their representatives.
So, he didn't say a ton, but obviously there's dialogue, he said. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
We also had an update on Kyle Hendricks we're going to get in a bit. I believe there's another super chat, correct?
Yeah.
Jed needs to pick the tie. Galvin says, I agree. The tie. Come on, man. It's important. Can you gauge potential meter as of now?
Potential for like the Cubs?
I think that's what it
meant. Shout out to Fernando, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, by the way.
Awesome.
I would still, we've talked about like moving the needle so many times. I would say the Cubs at this point, because we still don't know what the roster is going to look like. Like I keep saying, like there could be a trade or something like that. Like, I'll just say that I feel better about the team than I did before the Mancini signing.
I didn't think you were going to.
You know me, Luke. I can't help myself. I think they could win low. Like, I think the ceiling is, 86, 87, and the floor is low 80s, so like 80, 81. I think that anywhere in that range could happen. I mean, the over-under total is 78 on the sports books. So, yeah, I think they could go over that 78, and I would say the floor is, you know, 500.
Yeah, I don't believe that Brady says the highest possibility is constructed 86 games and squeaking into a wild card. I don't believe that just because I don't believe the division's that good. Could I see a scenario where the Cubs finish in third place? Of course I could. That would be low barrel. If they finish in third again, it's a disaster. So they should be better than Brewers in my eyes. But could I see a scenario where injuries hit the Cardinals and everything clicks for the Cubs? Of course. I don't think they're the favorite to win the division.
No.
But I wouldn't rule that possibility out. Like Ricketts said, he expects them to compete for the division. I don't think that's as absurd as saying last year we hope to be competitive when we could all look at it and go, what is he talking about? Like, that's not going to happen. This year he says it, and I think most people kind of at least drank a little bit of the Cubby Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same kind of boat as Cody. I'm maybe a little less optimistic on Cody. This is what I talked about with some people on Friday, and obviously prior to the Mancini signing maybe helps that a bit. I said you could say this is probably a solidly 500 team like that. As far as floors go, you kind of hope that that's it. But I could also see them, you know, things kind of the injury bug biting again, or just the guys that are the kind of reclamation flyer projects not quite bouncing back the way they could. I could see probably that, you know, that if it's 500, that kind of deviating four or five games each way, just based on kind of, you know, the happenings of a baseball season, right? On paper, you could probably say this is at least a 500 team with potential for better, right? Definitely because they have good players and they have players that, you know, maybe a change of scenery helps. But baseball is not played on paper. Baseball is played on the field. And we know over 162 games, stuff happens. So I could say I could see this team winning about like 86 or so games. I'm not going to put my money on that because things happen, but I think it has potential to kind of be one of those fringe wild card teams, like definitely better in the division. Like the wild card may not even be in the cards just because we know how much better a lot of those teams in the other divisions got. But there's probably a point where they're competing for a division here. And then if that, you know, I don't want to put too much optimism into it, but if that gets into the end of July, Cubs may, you know, maybe they think about buying here this year instead of selling again.
The Cubs could easily compete for the division here. I mean, you want to talk, everyone wants to put the Cubs down because they for going 39 and 31 because they had an easy schedule in the second half. Well, the Cardinals had the easiest schedule in the second half of baseball too. And their pitching isn't wowing anyone. Like, let's be like, there's real optimism. You can find real optimism in the Cubs competing in this division. And Milwaukee, I mean, you were in first place at the All-Star break, and you traded Josh Hader in first place. You're a Mickey Mouse organization. I'm never going to be afraid of them. So there's no reason that, or there's no reason that you could, you know, not see it happening. Now, will it actually happen? We don't know, because there's a lot of questions, and you're hoping for some breakouts from some guys, a lot more breakouts than those other two teams for sure. But I think there's reason for optimism on that.
Collado's got him at 80 and 82. If you think the Cubs have a chance, I'm just saying a chance to compete for some sort of playoff spot this year, make sure you hit the like button. We've got 173 people here. We need a few more likes. And we'd also, if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're someone who's just downloading the podcast later on, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check us out there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. We're cranking them out one after another for you. And thanks to everybody that's joined in the chat today. Great to have everybody here. Great to have the positivity, even if it's 80 and 82 out of Michael Collado. I consider that positivity sometimes on a Monday.
Collado said something in the chat earlier about how there were no boos. There were boos. It was just mixed. All right. There were boos.
He's right in that they did a nice job of changing the narrative. I don't know if they held the Mancini signing for a little bit, if that's a possibility, if that was actually held for the convention just to kind of create a little more buzz. But I think it got people talking about possibilities. And I also think Cubs fans just being around other Cubs fans there was something positive to that, right? Like, especially Saturday was a sunny day. It just felt like you were a little bit closer. We've had a really warm January, so it didn't feel like we're on this death march to like 7 months of snow and rain. So it was better. And then we also had Marquee presenting a lot of this with a lot of live coverage, including an interview that we grabbed off their Twitter of Kyle Hendricks, who's updated that, you know, he might not be ready for opening day, but he is making progress. So, Steven, if you have that Kyle Hendricks clip, let's take a listen to that.
Oh, obviously, I'm itching to get going, and I would want to be throwing every single day, but I really got to trust the doctor and the staff I have, and they're amazing. They've dealt with so many of these before, and obviously this being my first one, so I put a lot of trust into them, but the throwing program's going great, and I should be there real early. We're not going to put a day on it. But yeah, I would love to be there opening day, May, obviously in that range. I should be getting off the mound here pretty soon. And that's really the next step to see how I feel. But so far, no hiccups at all, right on track. So yeah, I can't wait, especially with this group we got this year, man. I got to be out there. You know, I got to take full advantage of this. So I can't wait for all the wins.
We had a bunch of interviews with some current Cubs players that will be coming on the podcast over the next couple of weeks. We're going to spread them out a little bit. You see Ryan and I and YouTube
Luke, you
talking.
Look so happy. You look Hayden so
Wesnesky.
Happy. Yeah.
It was fun. And, you know, after we Edbert Alzolay was one of the players that we talked about. And afterwards, I asked him about Kyle Hendricks. And he's like, man, he's going to be good. He's good. And people are underestimating him. Like, he's one of those players. And I said, why do you believe that? And he said, because everything he does since the day I've watched him is to be better every single day. Like, I found it interesting that that was the player he picked when he said, you know, this is the guy whose brain I pick. This is the guy I watch, and that he's sort of an open book, and that even Alzolay is someone who, since the day he's been in the organization, has always looked to Kyle Hendricks as a guy that can teach him. So listen, there's 5 or 6 different guys you could call X factor. We could do a podcast on just the possible X factors for this team. Obviously Bellinger is a huge X factor for this team, because if he turns out to be anywhere near an MVP level, it completely changed the team. But Kyle Hendricks being good, not even great, good Kyle Hendricks really changes that rotation too. Yeah. Like, if you have him down at the bottom of the rotation and he's giving you consistent starts that are more like a guy that's a 3 instead of a 5, then you're getting something pretty special out of that. So
yeah,
I think that's a podcast coming up. Well, who are your X factors and who's really the best at that right now?
Yeah. Well, and then just really quick to touch on Kyle, like that's the, I guess where he's at is really good for him, but it also kind of sounds like, hey, opening day is probably not in the cards. Like, he's either going to take it slow, make sure he kind of bounces back from this, and then, you know, take the time to do everything else they want to do with him this offseason to kind of help him get back to, you know, his past form. Someone says in the chat, I don't remember who exactly said it. Oh, Greg's going to sleep. There you go. With Kyle being out, that basically guarantees Wesnesky in the opening day rotation, right? I don't know that it does. I think he kind of, he had a great month. You know, we know that, and it was awesome to see in September. But it's only been a month in the major leagues. He has to kind of go out and prove it again himself. But you also got guys like, you know, Javier Assad and Adrian Sampson, and guys that, if you're talking about the number 5 in your rotation, those guys were, you know, they were good. They were good call ups last year that helped kind of keep the rotation stable for a while. Wesnesky probably has the potential to be better than them. I'd say if things go right, he will be. But it could also be a scenario where they, you know, start him in AAA and then let him keep dominating AAA batters, stay on that starter schedule. If we're looking at Kyle Hendricks, he may end up, you know, being back to play within a few weeks, right? And then you kind of mess up what's going on with Wesnesky in the major leagues to kind of acclimate Kyle Hendricks back into the rotation. I'm not saying that he won't be on the opening day star. He won't be an opening day rotation guy, Wesnesky. But there's definitely realistic scenarios where he's not, and he's in AAA, and people probably won't be happy about that. But it kind of goes just to the long term development of him, and also making sure you're not disrupting that when Kyle Hendricks is back and ready to pitch again. Because as Tommy Haddavy told me at the end of the season, like, as long as Kyle Hendricks is healthy, he's going to be in the rotation. That's they don't envision him being a long relief bullpen guy. So if he's healthy, they're going to have to get him in the rotation, and that's going to kind of affect the way, you know, what they're doing with Wesneski in the future.
They didn't get the automatic ace this offseason, but they did deliver what a lot of people asked for, and that was very good depth to protect them from if Kyle Hendricks doesn't make it back, if one of the other guys, they've got a pretty good stable of arms that you feel comfortable about marching out on a major league field where you don't feel like you're going to get embarrassed because that guy's on the mound. So they have done that in the offseason. Ryan, Saturday I needed my Shady Rays and I forgot them in the car. And now I'm taking my Shady Rays and I'm making sure I get that little, you know, there's like a little holder up in my roof where the Shady Rays are going up there. I'm not making that mistake again. We had all those cloudy days and I thought, I don't need the Shady Rays today. I made a mistake.
Yeah, you made a mistake. I mean, you could have probably used them. We had the studio setup. We had the really bright lights that our GM Jake brought along. So you definitely could have used Shady Rays for that too. Good thing you didn't, though. We wanted to be able to see your face on these podcasts when they come out. But Shady Rays, let me tell you about Shady Rays. Let me find the ad real quick. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't need to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You drop them in the lake, off a cliff, or anything, they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I can tell you, holding in my hand, wearing on my face, you know, carrying around with me when I don't forget them on the way to CubsCon. They seem just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals for hunger to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. You get free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running the deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. Redeem that code CHGO for 50% off only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Don't forget to smash the like button out there. We see there's over 200 of you in the chat. We appreciate that. And hopefully you already know about our next partner because I've been talking about him for like 9 months. Can't stop talking about him. Literally every day I started taking AG1 because I didn't have time, wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. I've been on it since last spring and I love it. It doesn't taste super healthy, but it is super healthy and it has this mild tropical taste. So I take it first thing in the morning. Here's what it is. One scoop of AG1. You absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. They have a special blend of ingredients here supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get a boost of energy, so I take it empty stomach first thing in the morning, and there I go, flying off to the day. It's lifestyle friendly, too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1, investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes, more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop in a cup of water every day, regular old water. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D, 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
I don't know if you guys saw it. I don't know if you guys saw the CHGO Bulls team because they're going to Paris. I think they leave today.
Yeah.
Right. They kind of put together their little traveling like checklist, right? I think it was Will Gottlieb. We call him Will Gottlieb. He had seven packs of AG1 taken with him to Paris.
Yeah, and I bet you he took the travel packs. He's got the travel packs with him, you know.
So AG1's going international now with Will Gottlieb.
I will take like 20 packs of Athletic Greens if CHGO sends us to London this year. I'll take as many as they can give me.
If they stop you at customs, sir, do you have anything that's no, it's just AG1. I know it seems superhuman, but it's just the AG1. So other news to come out of Cubs convention. Michael Collado's right. He said, like, they kind of spread different news. They talked about Hall of Fame, they talked about statues, and the news came out that Ryne Sandberg will be the next statue. So Rhino will be the sixth statue at Gallagher Way. He'll be the fifth player now, or former player, to get a statue at Gallagher Way, joining Ernie, Billy, Fergie, and Ron Santo. Obviously all Hall of Famers. So the Hall of Famers will all have their statue, and then the Harry Carey statue there as well. I think it's pretty cool. You know, exciting that somebody gets to see it. Take his family there. Rhino certainly deserves it. You know, if it weren't for he's for my generation, he's the Mr. Cub, right? Like, I know we'll get to Sammy talk in a second, but there's debates about Sammy, right? Like, whether people love him or hate him. I think most people still love him. They know that there's probably some cheating that was going on. Rhino, there's no debate. Every Cubs fan ever, it's like Ernie Banks. Everybody loves Rhino. So to see him get that statue, now I'm curious what the pose is going to be, right? Is it going to be his stance? Is it going to be his swing and then kind of a stride in remembering the Sandberg game? Is it going to be him turning a double play at second? I think it's debatable. I think they go with a swing. That's just my guess. Although he had so many gold gloves that it's possible they could go with the fielding route.
I think it's a swing.
I don't know.
I think it's a swing just because it's a little more vertical. And you like the all the statues kind of vertical. Too. Maybe not even swing. Yeah. I got a feeling it's gonna be the stance, not into this free swing.
I don't know. I think it could be a freeze of halfway through the swing or just as after he made contact with the second home run off of Bruce Sutter.
Just freeze that and then build the statue
after that. People would recognize it instantly, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. I don't know who the next statue would be after that. I don't know if they're going to go to the next
generation.
Well, they could stick with Hall of Famers. They could go Lee Smith.
And this is the kind of the
eye roll all the way into Lake Michigan, Luke. Jeez.
This is the conversation we had back when Fergie got his, right? Kind of who's next. And I think we agreed at the time that Rhino for a player-specific Rhino was going to be – it probably deserved to be next, was next in line.
Yeah.
I think we all kind of realized that. Here's real quick a quote from Ryne Sandberg from Jared's story over at allchco.com. Go check it out. He said, to be part of a structure and be part of Wrigley Field, that means so much to me because Wrigley Field was always my friend and so friendly to me. I love the atmosphere and the fans and the day games, the whole thing about it. I liked everything about that. Quick quote, but just, you know, Jared got to talk to him. After that announcement was made, very cool thing for a guy that's so beloved, you know, in Cubs history. I know my dad's generation of Cubs fans, favorite player was Ryne Sandberg, right? You know, back in 1984, all that stuff. So to see that happen, it's good for a generation of Cubs fans for sure, but also just cool to honor him and what he did on this at Wrigley and on the north side and for the Cubs and everything, all that. So as far as my mom's
favorite player too.
Yeah,
could be Andre Dawson could be the next statue too.
Someone said the Hawk in there. I was thinking I had someone ask me in the past about like 2016 and like who from there is going to be on there. And I think we also actually talked about that on Fergie Day as well. As far as if it's me and I'm making a prediction, I think they're going to honor that whole team before they would honor any of those players.
Yeah.
Not because those players weren't great players. But just because what the team did mattered so much more than any one player, and the longevity of all those players, like their peaks, they didn't have long extended peaks. They didn't spend 10 seasons with the Cubs. Rizzo might have been close. But it was, you know, it was just kind of it was the longevity factor is none of them stand out above what that team as a whole did. So I think if they're going to build a statue for that team, it's going to be. For anyone on that team, it's going to be all of them. You know, it's going to be a way to commemorate that.
Yeah, I would guess that the 2016 championship statue will come in 2026. They'll do it to remember. It'll be something special to remember 10 mm-hmm. years since they won the World Series, and hopefully they've been back to a World Series before that comes, but we'll wait and see. Now, the other news was Mark Grace and Sean Dunstan will be the next people inducted into the Cubs Hall of Fame. Ryan, you have some sound on that too as well?
Yeah, just a quick video. You know, Mark Grace and Sean Dunstan, former teammates, friends, and Mark Grace, you know, they're kind of telling stories and stuff, and this is the one I tweeted out, but it was probably my favorite story that Mark Grace told from their playing days. Pretty funny. Got, you know, a lot of people liked it on Twitter, but again, it's like another generation of Cubs fans that, you know, growing up were watching Sean Dunstan and Mark Grace play, and you know, just another way to honor two guys that did, you know, maybe weren't the greats that, you know, Fergie Jenkins or Ryan Sandberg were, but just another way to honor two guys who had an impact on Chicago.
Sean was my first couple of years. Sean, when he would miss me, he'd miss in the 20th row, you know. And like I said last night, I said that he was Tinker to Evers to Chance, and then there was Sandberg to Dunstan to Addison Street. So I told Sean, I said, all right, Sean, okay. And it was when the movie White Men Can't Jump was out with Wesley Snipes. And so I said, Sean, I said, you got to do me a favor. I said, I can't help you in the 20th row. I can't. I said, if you're going to miss me down here. I got a chance to pick that thing. I'm all right at doing that. So I got a chance to pick that thing because, and I said, there's a movie out right now called White Men Can't Jump. So don't freaking throw it in the crowd. Miss me down here. And he laughed about it and it loosened him up. And I'm telling you, for as long as Sean was still with the Cubs, every throw was right on the money because he knew if he missed me, I could help him down here. But he never threw another one. Yes. He never threw another one into the stands.
That's good stuff. I mean, those really, that's the core of my childhood, that those three guys, right? And then I'm getting older as a Cubs fan, but Sammy obviously was a big part of that as well. But for me, Grace, Dunstan, Sandberg, like it didn't get better than that. I'm disappointed that team wasn't able to get to a World Series. Like, I feel like they could have been better because they did have some really, really good players. Sean Dunstan was so fun to watch. Mark Grace was Mr. Consistency. And then Sandberg was the Hall of Famer of the group. But, you know, Sammy obviously brings, he's a hot button issue, right? Like every year at Cubs convention, yeah, when they have it, obviously not the last 2 years, but like the Sammy questions are going to come. So Cody, you were in there for the family panel, which I would say, from what I can tell, there wasn't a ton of negativity, but it's always going to be around this because there are fans that are angry that Sammy's not back at the ballpark, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll say the most negativity came related to Sammy Sosa. And then some lady had the audacity to ask about the sports book, which I could go on a rant about that later in the show if you want me to. Yeah. But it was mainly about Sammy Sosa. I'll say this much. The Ricketts did this on purpose, putting themselves first, because like that room was empty at 9 a.m. Like, I mean, not empty, but there weren't, like, it wasn't packed like all the rest of them were. So, whatever. That's my two cents on it. But yeah, the Sammy stuff was probably the most tension that was created, yeah, in that 45 minutes or whatever.
All right, let's hear the first question from the fan about Sammy Sosa to Tom Ricketts.
Sammy Sosa. Yeah. Here we come to Mark Ricketts from the 90s into the Hall of Fame last night, which is awesome. I'm a kid from the 90s, and what's the progress with Sammy?
Well, I have to say, I don't think it's really any progress with Sammy. Nothing's really changed that I know of anyway. Obviously, I see kind of I mean, I see both sides of this issue or this discussion, and I hope someday that we come to like a really nice resolution with it. But I don't really have anything new to report on Sandy today.
Bring him back!
Keep the questions rolling here. We're gonna go over there.
So that's the first part, and then there's another portion or a follow-up question about it, right? Let's just do that one right away.
Yeah, go ahead.
You and your family are not the reasons why I watch baseball. I watch baseball because of Sammy Sosa, probably because of Jerry Rojas too. So I guess my question is, what do you view as the two sides? Because from a fan perspective, it is very one-sided that he is the reason why I watch and why I've been a Cubs fan for 25 years.
That was just back to Sammy.
Tom.
I think there are two sides here. Obviously, everyone can have an opinion on it, obviously the voters, the Hall of Fame voters, believe there's two sides to this story. I know there's a lot of fans that have reached out to me directly that believe there's two sides to this story. I'd like to get it behind us as well, but I just want to be thoughtful about it and do it in a way that's respectful of both the people that love Sammy as a player, as I did, and people that respect the game too. And I think there's a balance in there somewhere, and maybe we'll find that at some point. But it's not something that I don't know. I don't think the final chapter is written on this, but we'll always be open-minded to find a way that works for everyone. But for the time being, I don't really have any like super updates on it. So, still
So applause at the end of that. Our YouTube chat's really been good on this, and nice job getting the videos on that, because I did want to hear those answers, Cody. So. Barbara pointed out that Sammy used to get booed at the convention. Yeah, his departure was not good. Mm-hmm. The reason I would like to see him come back is that I think forgiveness is a beautiful thing. And if you can do that, I think we're a forgiving fan base. We're a forgiving country. We're forgiving people. So, you know, if he didn't harm you in some specific way personally, maybe he has to do something. Maybe there's something, some way they can work this out. Ricketts seems slightly open to that. You know, I don't think he totally shut it down in that second answer, which I think was a good one. Little Yumper with a $10 super chat saying Sammy owns the Ricketts nothing. If he doesn't want a job, the Ricketts need to get off their high horse. Selig is in the Hall, who allowed all the steroid era to run rampant. Yeah. That's a fair argument too. I mean, I do think it's a two-sided argument. I don't think it's one-sided. However, believing that it's a two-sided argument, I would like to see them find a way for him to come back.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on what Tom had to say is, you know, I guess for years I felt like he was just it always came off as like he, you know, that he was calling the shots on this, and now he's using the Cubs Hall of Fame as an excuse, perhaps, or you know, whatever. Like the Cubs Hall of Fame voters clearly have an issue with it, and. Listen, he's the freaking owner. Like, you can do whatever you want. You own the team, man. Like, and if you really love Sammy, like he literally said in that video that he did, then he can do that. And he said something about how, you know, he wants to be respectful and thoughtful of, like, I guess the voters, I guess he was pointing at. But I don't know, man. Like, we're not talking about, no offense to Sean Dunstan, but like, Sammy Sosa created a whole generation of fans. We did the video with Joey Molinaro, and when he said, if you watch that video, he literally said that too in that. And like, there's plenty of people of me and Ryan's generation that believe that. And like, I just feel like I don't even care if there's a statue. I don't even care if he's in the Cubs Hall of Fame. All I care about is that there's some sort of relationship that, like, invite him back, have him sit behind home plate, have some kiss some babies, wave at the fans, run out to the right field with the Chicago flag. I don't care. Like that's genuinely all I care about. Like, the fact that we just, like, they continue to promote him on marquee. If you were at the convention this weekend, there was an archive room where they had all these awards that guys on the team have won. There was multiple Sammy Sosa awards or awards that Sammy Sosa won in that archive room. And it's like, you're going to continue to use his name to promote you and whatever, but not like at least have some sort of relationship with him. Like, that's what bothers me. As much as I want him to be in the Cubs Hall of Fame or to have a statue, because I think he deserves one, he has more home runs than anyone else in Cubs history, all that. Like, to me, that's what bothers me the most about it and why I'm always going to be loud about this. And until ownership or whoever the Cubs Hall of Fame voters, you know, just get off their high horse, I guess, like, I'm just going to continue to feel this way. And I'm always going to feel this way.
Another super chat, by the way.
I just wanted to say real quick about that. I mean, I when Rickus talks about seeing both sides, you know, there's the side that they're on, and you know, they weren't the owners when the whole ugly breakup happened. Him walking out last day of the season. They weren't owners while he played for the team, but the fact, and I saw someone make the point, and I don't remember where I read it, that it may not all be the Ricketts. I mean, there are a lot of influential players, you know, that played prior to Sammy Sosa or with Sammy or, you know, whatever, that, you know, Ryan Sandberg among them. I'm not saying that Ryan Sandberg doesn't want Sammy Sosa to be welcomed back to the Cubs, but he talked at about Sammy. I think it might have been Paul Sullivan from the Trib kind of asked him about it, that he talked about, you know, there was when Ryan Sandberg was inducted to the Hall of Fame, 28 times he used something about playing the game the right way or respecting the game. Obviously Sammy has, you know, an ugly history with that as far as the cork bat, as far as potential PED use. Again, not saying that Ryan Sandberg is telling Ricketts not to let him back, but there may be those kind of feelings going through the Cubs organization that isn't just from the Ricketts side. And that may be one, you know, some of those things that's like, and I know one of the things is kind of, if Sammy were to kind of publicly admit that he did things wrong, maybe that helps mend the fences. Sammy probably doesn't want to do that because I know he's talked about in interviews, talking about kind of feeling scapegoated for this whole era when other guys have kind of gotten the forgiveness that, you know, whatever that they earned or whatever. But then there's also, for me, it's when Ricketts talks about both sides, you got the Ricketts side and then the Cubs, and you got Sammy's side. To me, there's a third side. To me, there's the fan side. And this is kind of going into what Cody said, that the fans have clearly, most fans have forgiven Sammy, I would say. Most of the vocal majority of the fans have forgiven Sammy for what happened and want him back. They don't want him to be like the owner of the team or any of that stuff, or, you know, whatever. It's just welcome him back to the Cubs family like you do with all these other alumni that are there every single year at Cubs convention, spring training, walking around Wrigley, whatever. You know, the people want him back. And I don't know if when you look at it and look at the Ricketts, it's like, yes, they have their own, you know, morals or pride or whatever. Sammy's going to have his own morals, pride, whatever. But it should always go to what the fans want, right? Like, that's what, I mean, you're putting it. I mean, it's a sport, yes, but it's an entertainment product. And the way you're going to entertain, like, your whole thing is supposed to be catered to the fans and the fan experience and what the fans want. And if the majority of fans want Sammy Sosa back into that, and, you know, back into the Cubs family, I think the Ricketts and the rest of the Cubs have to acknowledge that's a legitimate side that deserves to be heard when it comes to Sammy. It's not just Ricketts versus Sammy. It's not just Cubs versus Sammy. It's like the fans are in that conversation as well and should be in that conversation as well, because this is a fan thing, right? You're honoring a guy that was a fan favorite to a whole generation of Cubs fans that made, like that guy said in the video, is the reason why they watched Cubs baseball. So I'm not saying that should be the biggest influence on whether he gets it or not, but it's just, they have to be part of the conversation. Cubs fans should be part of the conversation of, if, you know, if they're still considering this stuff with Sammy, listen to what the fans want to.
Yeah, there are, and you're right, Ryan. There are certainly a large group of former players that do not like the guys that were obvious steroid users. Like, if they weren't steroid users and then they watched the steroid era, that's, it's not just the baseball writers keeping Sammy and Clemens and those guys out of the Hall of Fame. There are also a lot of former players that are very, very vocal about not wanting those guys. The one flip side I would say to this is that I want Sammy back, but I also don't get why Sammy just won't meet halfway, right? Like, I don't know why he just won't swallow the pride a little bit and be like, I'm sorry. I don't think he has to even come out and say, I did steroids. I just think he should come out and say, I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't leave on the right terms. I wish I wouldn't have left the way I left, but this is home and this is where my people are, my fans are. I want to be back. And so for anybody that I hurt, anybody I disrespected, I'm asking for forgiveness. I'd like to be back. I think it could be that simple, really. Like one statement like that, I think would be enough for people to bring him back. But I just don't know how, I just don't see him meeting that halfway until he's really desperate for the attention. And it doesn't seem like he's that way anymore. Like, I think he's happy staying away. I think he'd like to be back, but I don't know. It's sort of fascinating.
I know we got a super chat.
What's that?
We do have that super chat that I rudely interrupted.
We got another super chat. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Adrian DC 499. Thank you. He says, my concern this whole weekend is seeing how Tom was open about being cheap as an owner.
I wouldn't say that's true.
I'm not gonna lie, Luke. Me and you were in the interviews while Tom.
I don't know what he said, Cody. Yeah,
Cody would have.
Did you get that feeling that he was like, "Hey, I'm cheap"?
I just remember someone said something. A fan asked about something related to Anthony Rizzo, and I just remember Laura Ricketts saying something along the lines of, you know, when we traded Anthony Rizzo, she cried and you know, all that kind of stuff. But they really emphasized how they really believe in Jed. And so I guess if you want to consider that as admitting to being cheap, then I disagree with that being why you would think that he said he was openly being cheap. He did not openly say that, in my opinion. Tom's session was a lot of like how we joked about on last Thursday when Luke pretended to be Steve Ricketts, Tom's quote unquote brother. Like that, the only thing that was, you know, that was controversial or whatever was the Sosa stuff. And then someone had the audacity to get all pissed off about the sports book ruining like Wrigley's, like, you know, charm. historic, like, fitting or whatever, which was so dumb. I never eye rolled so dumb or for so long in my entire life when someone had the audacity to ask that question. Whatever. That's how it went. Like he did not openly say that he was like cheap though, or like make you believe that. All he really did when it came to the roster was talk about how they really believed in Jed. So you can be upset about that. If you're not a fan of Jed and you want to be upset about that, okay, fine. I'm not going to stop you from doing that, but yeah.
All right. We got to get to a break. I do want to point out that Lucas said the Cubs spent more than 26 other teams this offseason. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include an estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. If you're ready to sign up for a facility assessment, call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online at their website, comed.com/facility assessment. And Cody, lots of good gambling out there for football fans right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I was just talking about the sports book at Wrigley, right? It's going to be a DraftKings sports book, and I'm going to be there a lot. I'm just being completely blunt with you. And, you know, maybe we'll be able to do a show there one day. So if you're not a fan of the sports book, maybe you can get on board because you might come see, you might see me there. You might see all three of us there doing something. I don't know. But the NFL playoff action continues. We are one step closer to Super Bowl 57. And for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings. Stepped up same game parlays, boost your NFL winnings, and each leg you add up to 100%. I had a parlay this weekend, did not work out, and that's because I took the Chargers and they blew a 24-0 lead. Thanks, 27-0, Los Angeles. 27-0 lead. Sorry. Thank you, Ryan. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details in the podcast or YouTube description. That said, Giants plus 7. That's the lock of the week. Lock it in. We ride on Saturday. Can't wait.
the CHGO Bulls guys off to Paris. How about that? So now we know we have the London games. I know Cody's already been sending personal letters to King Charles, asking for his admittance into the country, asking for potentially, like a caravan of police to bring him into the country if we can get there.
Yeah, hopefully and he has his passport by then, Cody.
I do have a question.
Please, God. Passport, yeah, right? If it is not here by problem. Then, what? Don't even like put that energy out there, Ryan. Come on, man.
Can you place a DraftKings bet when you're in London?
If it's legal, if it's legal there,
should be able to, yeah, right? An app is an app.
Yeah, we should ask Rachel. I should DM her and ask her: is sports betting legal in London? So.
Figure that out.
England, I guess.
It's a good question. Our producer Steven has a poll question for us, by the way. He wants to know where people think the Cubs will finish in the division, right? Like, think of the offseason. I remember last year going into the season, we had some projections that had them finishing either behind the Pirates or the Reds. I think it was behind the Reds. And I thought that was crazy. I don't see a scenario where they finish behind the Reds or the Pirates again this season. I think it's – if I had to put a percentage on the Cubs finishing – if I had to put money on the Cubs finishing ahead of or behind the Brewers, I would put money on the Cubs ahead of the Brewers this year.
Yeah,
I think they've done enough this offseason to finish ahead of the Brewers. So if I had to
– I agree.
If I had to put all of Cody's money and Ryan's money combined on –
but not your own house.
Spot, but not my house, because I would never do that. But if I had to put Cody's money on it, I would put it I would say the Cubs finish second. I still think the obviously the Cardinals have the star power if those guys are healthy, which any team can get injury problems. I would say the Cardinals are still a better team on paper, but you could easily argue the Cubs have better pitching than the Cardinals. So sometimes that evens the playing field. I just don't know. I don't think it'll be that far off. I think the Cubs will be within, let me put it this way. If you had a division race, I bet you the Cubs are within 5 games of first place before the end of the season. When it's all said and done, I could see that the Cubs are only 5 behind the Cardinals if they win the division.
I would feel differently about Milwaukee if Christian Yelich was still good at baseball, but he's not. So,
sure.
The way like their success genuinely goes through Christian Yelich. Like they traded Hunter Renfro. Yeah, I know they got William Contreras in that like fleece job that that Oakland allowed with Sean Murphy. But I mean, I don't know. Their pitching is still good, right? Like they have the pitching, but I could see Milwaukee selling at the deadline. I've said that a few times on this show. So I don't know. I think
they sold at the deadline last year.
I'd probably go second. I think the Cardinals are still the top team in the division. They didn't do enough to shore up their pitching and actually lost from their pitching. And Adam Wainwright's a year older, but I guess maybe they can try to bank on Jack Flaherty being healthy because he was a really good pitcher when he is. As far as the Brewers go, I disagree, Cody. I think Yelich is going to be what he is, but their success really goes through Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, and Freddy Peralta, and the rest of those guys. They just signed someone else. I don't remember exactly who it was for the rotation, but their rotation is easily the best in the division, one of the best in baseball. And if those guys are lights out, if Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff are Cy Young candidates like they generally are, if Freddy Peralta, I remember a couple of years ago, I was saying Peralta could be like a dark horse Cy Young guy mm-hmm. if he pitches to that level. And then you got Eric Lauer still in there. Adrian Hauser is, you know, up and down a little bit, but he's probably steady in the back of that rotation. That's going to be what gives the Cubs fits if they're trying to compete for second place in the division. It's going to be the Brewer rotation.
All I know is that team can't hit, and you got to score runs to win games, brother.
I mean,
we'll see. I just think that it's been a good 4 or 5 day stretch for Cubs fans because there is a little more positivity after Cubs convention. They have added a guy who hit 18 homers last year. And while there are certainly flaws on what is likely an unfinished roster, maybe Andrew Chafin, maybe the sheriff joins the team before the end of the season. Another little piece, small piece that would make you feel a little bit better about this team going into the season. I feel good about the chat. I feel good about this podcast. I feel good about the Cubs. I think we're all moving in the right direction. We're done going in the wrong direction. We're finally looking ahead to the right direction. So thanks to everybody who joined us for the podcast today. Make sure you hit the like button and subscribe to the channel on your way out. We appreciate it. We'll be back at 1:20 on Tuesday. We'll be in studio tomorrow. Hope to see you there. Until then, make sure you fly the W, and thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.